And welcome aboard. It's Martin and Marlowe, Charlie Marlowe, Martin Kilcoin, episode 32. You know where I'm going with this, Charlie. You know, right out of the gate. We love the number game. This might be our best number, 32. Not just that we made it this far, but jerseys. I know this is not your thing. You're probably Googling on your phone right now. Your blink on 32.
Juan Guzman. Just kidding. No, obviously, Magic Johnson. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And that's a lot of NBA, and these are just top of mind, but a lot of NBA. Magic Johnson, and then a future Laker. And I'm trying to think, what did Shaq wear in LA? Because Shaq was always 32.
Okay. Wasn't Shaq 33 with the Magic?
Maybe.
Was he 34 with the Lakers?
Well, I think he's 32. Now, you at some point, you Google it on your phone. I'm going to look it up. Magic Johnson.
I'm always wrong.
You look it up. Karl Malone, Magic Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal. Now, I think Shaquille probably, you know, had different numbers at different times. But I think he was primarily 32. And then we got to the Lakers, maybe went 34 because a Magic's number, I'm sure, is retired. We talked about that one time. The Lakers have a massive amount of retired jerseys. Football is where it's really prominent. You think running back and O.J. Simpson, probably your first one. Jim Brown. How about Franco Harris? You remember any of these players? You're too young. Young guy.
I remember all of them, but I don't know any jersey numbers. I just don't pay attention. Besides 33s, that was my favorite number. So next episode, I got a lot for you.
Well, Larry Bigby. Yeah, you're gonna own it next week. But O.J. Simpson, and then later for the Big Red here in St. Louis, Otis Anderson. Kind of weird that we had another OJ that was a great running back, and he also wore the 32. Franco Harris, did I say Marcus Allen, St. Louis's own Marcus Allen, all wearing the 32. On the baseball front, Steve Carlton is the only one I could think of. I'm sure there's some others, but Steve, anyway, it's episode 32. That's the main point, Chuck, okay?
We made it. We got here.
We got it to 32. I wanted to start with, and sometimes it's too sportsy, sometimes it's not, but I think the Hall of Fame debate, we're going to get into it probably next week with pro football, but for baseball, and your theory, I like this. It's either yes, no, or debate. And a lot of these that are being talked about, I always say just go with your immediate gut. Is it a yes or is it a no? And Omar Vizquel was getting discussed. I'm like, no, good player, Hall of Famer, no. And then you get to a Scott Rolen. Not because he's a former Cardinal. I'm sure Cardinal fans are 100% in support of him being in Cooperstown. But I do think he's a debate. He's not a yes. He's not a no. And he's a debate. And I guess the analytics are helping. But I think that's a good measure. And I don't know if writers think of it that way. Bob Nightingale, you know, guy we know well and like, voted for LaTroy Hawkins. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, yes, no, debate, no. I'm sorry, it's a hard no. Although you said, if you look closer at the numbers, but isn't that a great example of one where you just say, no, please. I don't care what the numbers say. God bless LaTroy Hawkins. Grew up with our buddy Artis Twyman for the Rams. Two more questions, guys. But LaTroy, no. I think this is a good measure that maybe they should all use. Yes, no, or debate.
Right. And when I saw the tweet from Bob Nightingale, I had to go to one of my favorite websites, Baseball Reference, where I can just get lost there for hours. Anyway, I'm like, how did he get to this? So the only thing I could even find is, look, his career ERA is over 4, but he was a really bad starter. So he had all these bad years as a starter, which inflated his ERA. I believe his reliever ERA was 3.32, which is pretty dang good, but still not close to being a Hall of Famer. That's a no. However, I do have to disagree with you because you brought up Omar Vizquel. I would not say yes. I would not say no. I would say that's a debate. And I do think, even though you said you weren't doing this, it does come down with the debatable guys to the guys that played for your team. Because I promise you that the fan base of Omar Vizquel would speak to him in the same light as Scott Rolen, even if they're not similar players. It goes back to like Lou Whitaker. I always think it's that Alan Trammell's in and not Lou Whitaker. I think they're basically the same player. You could even make a case that Lou was a little better, even though he played second base and Alan Trammell played shortstop. But when I say Omar Vizquel, I say debate. When I say Scott Rolen, I say debate. When I say Lou Whitaker, I say debate. I just think nowadays it seems like everybody wants to get everybody in, every debatable guy. And at the end of the day, I can't say that really bothers me that much, because it's the Hall of Fame. Who cares? And if one of these old guys before he dies gets to go to the Hall of Fame, why should I take that away from him?
Right. And the answer is always, who cares? It's not a big deal, but it is. And Cousin John hates it. He said, every year you guys will talk about this for like a week straight and debated and a big argument, and it just goes away. Nobody really cares. But true. I think these are players that we remember their careers, especially right now. These are guys that we watch play while we are covering the sport or watching it closely. So you have a better read on what their careers were. But Curt Schilling to me is a debate. And you look at his wins, which I know wins don't matter, right? Isn't that the new thing? He's got a low win total, never won a Cy Young. But then you look, he was second three times. And you start looking into it. I didn't realize he has the best strikeout to walk ratio of any pitcher in the modern era. Of course, he's got the great postseason resume. He is a debatable Hall of Famer, but obviously he says he doesn't want to be on the ballot next year. I think they'll leave him on, and he probably won't get in. I think he probably knows that he's plateaued. But what's happening with the Hall of Fame, the baseball debate, it does seem very personal now. Like writers, not if they don't like a guy, but if they don't like who they are. And I read a story the other day about the votes for every player. And it would say like, well, Todd Helton had a DUI in 2017 and Vizquel is facing domestic charges. Like every review now, there's no mention of home runs, RBIs, all-stars. It's all about the character clause, which I just think they've opened a can of worms in Cooperstown now. Like who's getting in, who's not getting in, Curt Schilling with his politics. There's no doubt that it's playing a role. I mean, do you think there's any doubt that some people are just not voting for him because they don't like him or what he espouses?
Right. It's absolutely playing a role. But I would say this about Curt Schilling specifically. Okay, Curt Schilling, to me, is a debate. Now, I think he will get in, and I think he's worthy of getting in. But I think the character clause comes into play with guys who are not surefire Hall of Famers. And obviously it doesn't matter if you're not going to make the Hall of Fame anyway, but it's the debatable guys where you start to kind of read into this. And I said this on the radio. I think with Curt Schilling, there's this narrative that he's not getting in because he's a Republican, which is crazy and asinine to me. Here's why. Baseball for years is full of good old boys, guys from the South, guys from Texas. I guarantee you the majority of baseball players are Republicans. It's not about being a Republican. It's about some of his really inflammatory comments where, what was it a few years back that he did a retweet or a shirt or something about rope meets tree meets journalist. Okay. Well, if you're going to put that out there and you know the writers are voting for you, that's pretty stupid. And then more recently, him supporting what happened at the Capitol, to me, that goes beyond just being a Democrat or Republican, right? If you're saying, yeah, this is what happens in America, don't you think storming the Capitol is taking it too far when you're supporting that? Like, I don't think anybody cares if you vote Democrat or Republican. But if you're saying some pretty extreme things and supporting some very extreme events where people died and our Capitol was stormed, I think that's a different story than, hey, I'm a Republican. Nobody really cares about that.
Yeah, and I think if you're a Republican, you'd be like, hey, wait a minute, don't lump me in with some of those
right
beliefs. And I think, no, there's no doubt a distinction needs to be made on those. And it would be fascinating if when he gets in, what his speech would be like, because you know he's got a lot to say. I heard Derek Gould on your station, 590 The Fan. He told Bernie Miklas, if I heard it correctly, that he did vote for Schilling. And he said, even though obviously it was offensive to see him retweeting like lynching of journalists, you know, but somehow Derek, to his credit, examined the case without any personal bias. I'm sure if he's on the lie detector, he probably doesn't like Curt Schilling at all, but he did vote for him because he thought he was worthy. And I think it's just at a place right now where putting that in there, it leaves everything wide open. Well, I don't know, this guy did this or that. And it's a big messy spot they're in. And now A-Rod comes along next year. Everybody likes him now. He's part of the steroid era. You know, do they look the other way because he's sort of remade his image? You know, do you think he gets in on the first ballot because he's a great player, but he was a cheater. He told Peter Gammons it was a loosey-goosey era. Everybody did it. It's like, I don't think he'll get in on the first ballot, but I bet he gets in, and then Bonds and Clemens are probably going, well, what about us?
I have a great idea that I just thought of now. Now, I haven't looked at the entire
stumbles
ballot,
into it, guy. Stumbles into the opinion, guy. Stumbles, you're what we do. One of my radio characters.
You're my friend. Here's what we do. Here's what we do. Next year is the pockmark, asterisk, the Hall of Fame for the ne'er-do-wells. How about next year put in all these guys we're talking about that are questionable? So 2022 can be the year where it's just a bunch of guys who either did PEDs, Curt Schilling with his comments. So you let in Bonds, you let in Clemens, you let in Schilling, you let in A-Rod. Can you only get five guys in? Is that right? Or is that football?
I think football has a minimum. I think baseball might have a max. I'm not positive about that. That's interesting what the largest class would be. But you're maybe just do it all the Hall of Shame this summer. Come on down. We'll take all of your unwashed, all your cheaters. You're all getting in at the same time. You're all great players, but we have a lot of the question mark class.
There you go. And you could add David Ortiz. I know there was something there.
He's on the ballot too.
Perez. There it is.
I like it. Martin Marlowe presented by a number of great folks, including Charles.
Including Kenilwood Pet Resorts. How about the fact that I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for Otis to go crazy up there because our guys are coming to do our bathroom here. But Otis, we have his collar on, okay, his shock collar, which we got from Kenilwood Pet Resorts, and it does a great job of training him. So Kenilwood Pet Resorts for boarding, grooming, day camp, training. Of course, St. Louis Lawn Care. Call them now, getting ready for the spring. They'll take care of your yard and also St. Louis Equipment. And then the place we were at last week, Martin, Corner Butcher in Fenton, 2099 Bentley Plaza Drive. I usually go there about once a week. You just got to go there. I can name all the great things I get there, but you just need to go there and take it in and realize all the different meats and cheeses and frozen dishes. They even have a seafood freezer now. They got everything, okay? Corner Butcher in Fenton, 2099 Bentley Plaza Drive. They are fantastic.
Corner Butcher and on location. Yeah, the video people got to see. We took, not only were we outside, the pictures took you inside.
Oh, yeah.
Case. Okay, I've looked this up now. Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz, Craig Biggio all went in together in 2015, only the third time that a four-man class was created. So I don't know that there's a rule, but it goes back like Joe DiMaggio. So very rare, I guess, to even have four. So I don't know if anything beyond that is even allowed. But your question mark class next summer could be a loaded class. I forgot about Big Poppy. There's another guy. He always sort of skates by on any hard accusations or as to what really went on. But all right, the question mark class for next summer created here on the Martin and Marlowe episode, which is also presented by Triad Bank, based in St. Louis since 2005, five-star rated bank for all your personal banking needs, but especially small business owners trying to navigate St. Louis. How about a bank that's based right here in Frontenac on Clayton Road? It's about a block west of Lindbergh, real close to that intersection of Highway 40 in Lindbergh, and on the web, triadbanking.com. Marie Davila Senior Living, corner of Clayton and Wideman Road. They've been there since 1960, more than a senior living spot. It's a campus, beautiful spot there. Take the virtual tour at mariedavila.com. And also appliance discounters. In fact, Chuck, we just got, Kim and I just got a new dryer. Humble brag, had to. Oh. The old one was done. And my guy, John Bradley, was like, hey, how's Charlie doing? He's been doing a lot of business with us. I'm like, well, easy. This is the sponsor of the Kilcoin Conversation here. But great folks, appliance discounters. They have four area locations. Check out all that merchandise online at theappliancediscounters.com. He's got you down as one of his favorite customers.
Like I said, I gotta check my receipts. I think I've bought a fridge, two ovens, and a microwave from Appliance Discounters in the last probably 6 months. And as I said, even though I like going into the store, sometimes it's easier. You can do it all over the phone. You just get your model number, you call them, and they set it up. They do the delivery. It's easy. It's fast. It's quick. I'm telling you, it's a fantastic spot.
All right. Fun debate in football. And this is not a, you know, first take, tee it up and argue all day. But some friends in Wisconsin, I'm on these group texts about the Packers losing. Aaron Rodgers is 1-4 now in NFC title games. And, you know, people up there are like, he's the best, he's the man, but is he coming up short in the big games, or have they failed him? And if you think about the first round pick, Jordan Love, and Lance Allen, guest on the show last week, said, you know, if you want to know what motivates a guy like Rodgers, he'll always find something, but it's probably Jordan Love being drafted in the first round. You got a team that could win a Super Bowl that at least is close enough with a quarterback who's getting towards the end of his Hall of Fame career. And the more I was thinking about it, you're playing an NFC title game. What did Jordan Love, first round pick, contribute to that game? Nothing. And it could have been, I mean, the more you unpack it, it's like, how did that make any sense when this guy's, he's under contract till 2023. So why draft that other kid? Like, I don't know. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm frustrated. How much blame does he get though? 1-4, that's a pretty bad record in title games.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely fair to blame Aaron Rodgers and the fact that he should at this point have gotten to more Super Bowls. If you're looking specifically at this year, you know, you mentioned Jordan Love, first round pick. Their second round pick, Dylan, the running back, barely plays at all. And so, and by the way, you have Aaron Jones, one of the best running backs in the league, and Jamal Williams, a pretty darn good backup. So I don't understand it from the Packers' perspective, because you have arguably the most talented quarterback of all time in Aaron Rodgers, and you draft another quarterback, you draft a running back in the second round. That's not as bad. At least I understand that that's kind of a good value for a running back, but you have a window to win Super Bowls with Aaron Rodgers. You're telling me a first or second round pick? How about a defensive back? When you watch that game and you see Kevin King getting scorched by Scotty Miller at the end of the first half, and Aaron Rodgers made mistakes. He threw a pick. He probably should have ran it in there. But when you have the coaching breakdown of allowing the touchdown at the end of the first half and then not going for it on fourth and goal, which makes absolutely no sense. If I'm Aaron Rodgers and I see that situation, Tom Brady.
Overrule. Just run the play.
Right. But I see Tom Brady going to a new team after 20 years and getting to a Super Bowl. Don't you think Aaron Rodgers is saying, man, it could be fun if I could go somewhere and have a little more freedom and have a better coaching staff and have an organization that will really invest in me? I understand that it made sense to go from Aaron Rodgers Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers is in his prime right now. He should be a great quarterback for 4 or 5 more years, and you draft this guy in the first round. To me, it makes absolutely no sense. I just think it's funny that the narrative is Tom Brady's the GOAT, which he is, but Aaron Rodgers actually played better than Tom Brady in that game. Tom Brady got more help. Tom Brady's defense sacked Aaron Rodgers 5 times. Tom Brady's coaching staff didn't let him down like the Packers did.
Appliance Discounters, a great St. Louis success story. They're in Maplewood, South County, St. Charles, and Baldwin. And they carry GE appliances. You know the story at Appliance Discounters. Great merchandise, even better prices. Well, they carry GE. So what I tell folks to do all the time, I just tell them, go to the website, theappliancediscounters.com, and in a little search engine, type in GE, and all of the great products will pop up. Ranges, microwaves, freezers. How about the stainless steel dishwasher? Free installation. Washers and dryers. Dryers can be gas or electric. Great selection of the GE products. Refrigerators, French door, fingerprint resistant refrigerator. How does that sound to all the parents out there? Top freezer refrigerators. GE is built to last. You know their story. Started in 1892. I love this nugget about GE. Thomas Edison, one of the founders of GE. Appliance Discounters, a proud supplier of General Electric appliances. Get online at theappliancediscounters.com.
All right, the Chiefs get there. The Chiefs are great. We all know that. And they've been great for a while. I ran the numbers the other day. I think it's like 44-11 the last 3 years, playoffs included. I mean, something like that. It's incredible. And the second they get to they're going back to the Super Bowl as the champions. And I do, and I hate responding or reacting and reading too much into social media and tweets, but there were a couple that basically said they can't doubt us now, or maybe the doubters will finally believe. And I'm like, who doesn't say the Chiefs are great? Who doesn't believe Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback you'd want for the next 10 years? Like, so I did a TKO or the blitz or whatever we call it. And I'm like, are there really people out? Nobody doubts the Chiefs. They're great. They won the Super Bowl. Mahomes has won an MVP. And I say all of that, and then the next day, I see Stephen A. Smith on ESPN saying, well, Mahomes has got all those players around him, and like basically saying it's not really him. And Kurt Warner, of all people, then jumped in off the top rope on Twitter and is like, don't be this guy. Give me a break. Mahomes is special. Like, so as soon as I said, there's no doubters out there. What are you talking about? But the truth is you could always find one or two people taking shots. Or not. On the whole, nationally, pundits included, fans, everybody gets, like, nobody's disrespecting the Chiefs. Although Stephen A. apparently is, and he's trolling. We know that. That's what they do. But do you feel there's some widespread non-belief in the Chiefs? I don't think it exists.
It doesn't. I will say, though, it probably comes a little bit from a gambling standpoint in the way that, and I don't want to say just gambling, but how the Chiefs finished their regular season. They were not blowing anybody out. If you go back and you look at a team that has all the talent in the world, defending Super Bowl champs, and they do have high spreads because they're favored by 7, 9, 10, but they weren't blowing anybody out the second half of the season. All those games were close. So they weren't playing like one of these dominant 85 Bears type teams. But then when they turn it on, you see what they do, and they beat the Bills by a couple touchdowns. Should have been more like 3 touchdowns, and nobody was hotter than the Buffalo Bills the last probably month or two of the season. I do think, I don't agree with what Stephen A. Smith said, but there's a kernel of truth there. I think Patrick Mahomes has also just the most of unbelievable talent I've ever seen in terms of throwing the ball, different arm angles, running around. He's creative. He has a huge arm. He also does have the best tight end in the game in Travis Kelce. He has one of the fastest players in the game in Tyreek Hill. And let's be real, especially when you watched what happened last Sunday. Andy Reid is an asset, especially an offensive asset from a coaching standpoint. Does Aaron Rodgers have that type of help from a coaching standpoint? I don't think so. So as great as Patrick Mahomes is, and he's going to be the best quarterback in football probably for the next 10 years, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's also in the perfect situation.
Right, but these guys running teams, Green Bay should be looking at Tampa Bay and Kansas City saying, okay, you got a quarterback who can win, who can probably win this year. Give him every chance to win. Build around that guy. That's to me what's – I mean, Rodgers deserves blame, absolutely. But look at what they did in Kansas City. Look at what they did in one season in Tampa and find a way to, like, build around that guy. All right, Chuck, you realize this would have been third hour because first hour, hardcore Cooperstown talk. Second hour, NFL discussion. We'll do our front seven breakdown of the Buccaneers next week, and we'll do the line. We'll look at some film this weekend and get into the line play next week. You know, I really like what the Bucs are doing in second and short. But the third hour topic is where on radio everybody said, okay, third hour. You know who goes third hour is Dan Rather, the legendary newsman. This was, I think it was during Football Sunday, and everybody's talking about all the games. And Dan Rather tweets out, pretzels or chips, which do you prefer? Like when watching the game, I'm like, isn't that the classic third hour, pretzels or chips? And then he said, by the way, I vote for Fritos. So he went off menu there for his choice. Dan Rather goes third hour topic, Charlie. We have been vindicated in 2021.
Well, now we have to debate this though. When you say that pretzels versus chips, I immediately think chips. But then I think about pretzels if you have a nice dipping sauce like a cheese. Okay, so to me it's an easy call for chips, but if you have a nice cheddar, maybe a warm cheddar, and then pretzels, are you just talking about hard pretzels or those really nice soft pretzels you can get as an appetizer at a restaurant where you can dip them in all the different sauces? So this is actually a great question.
I think he meant your traditional bag of pretzels sitting on the sofa. Chips, though, I just think opens a wide variety of topics there. I mean, you could be what kind of chips, you know, flavored chip. I think the obvious answer, I'm sorry, Charlie, the answer is chips.
Okay.
Okay, but we'll debate it next week. Much like the line play of the Buccaneers, we'll get into the Chiefs secondary. I'm concerned about some of their footwork back there. All of that on what will be the 33rd, which is fun with numbers, next week. Martin and Marlo, get it on iTunes, Spotify. Delivered directly to you and heard each week, of course, on Scoops with Danny Mac, scoopswithdannymac.com. Chuck, have a great week.
You too, sir.